Hey, it's Craig. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Canadian History X early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. Before I continue, if you want to support the podcast, you can by going to patreon.com/CanadaX. That's EHX. Today we have a very special interview with Baltej Singh Dhillon, who was the first person in the RCMP to be able to wear a turban, and he helped to change some of the rules with the RCMP. But he's not just that. He had a long and illustrious career with the organization, and while he is retired from the RCMP now, he is still involved in law enforcement. Now, before we continue, I'm actually going to play a CBC story from about 1989 to kind of give some context to what a big deal this was back in the day. Today, we probably don't think too much about it because, well, if somebody wants to wear a turban while they work, that's their prerogative, and people like Baltej helped change that. So we're going to go to the CBC interview and then straight into the interview I had with Baltej yesterday.
Baltej Dhillon would do almost anything to become an RCMP officer, except shave his beard and give up wearing his turban. Dhillon is a Sikh, and he is bound by his tradition to wear religious garments.
I don't think it will make any difference at all as far as my job requirements go. It is not going to be a hindrance as far as becoming a police officer and doing my duties as a police officer.
Dhillon has passed all tests for the RCMP. Nevertheless, he'll have to wait for his job, even though the RCMP said last spring that it would allow Sikh members to wear traditional religious dress. Nothing has changed. Burnaby MP Sven Robinson has urged the federal government to act quickly on the matter.
Canada's multicultural reality is such that Sikhs should be invited and encouraged to join the RCMP. This is an essential part of their religion, and it should be respected.
But the delay in the law is not the only thing Dhillon is up against. A lot of people consider the RCMP in its uniform a symbol of Canadian tradition, and they don't want that to change. In Calgary, thousands of people signed a petition urging the government not to change the rules. That petition was presented to Parliament last month. And more recently, this pin was distributed by a Calgary businessman.
A lot of the Albertans, I feel, the 90,000 people that signed this petition, have very little information or no information about what the Sikh goes through or what the Sikh life is concerned. I've heard many comments that say, the Sikh's tradition of wearing a turban should not hinder with the Canadian tradition of wearing a tunic and the red serge. It's not my tradition. This is a 500-year-old religion.
Vancouver RCMP say Dhillon is a good applicant, but that there's nothing they can do until the ruling comes down. For his part, Dhillon is determined that when the time comes, he'll be fit for the job. Dan Gothrop, CBC News, sir.
So I guess first question, you arrived in Canada as a young boy, right?
Yes, I was 16 at the time.
And what kind of led you to decide to pursue a career in the RCMP?
Well, it wasn't actually my first choice. I was actually working towards and planning to enter into a career in law. And while I was at college and then preparing to move on to university, I was told by one of my instructors that to better my resume for law school, it'd be good if I were to volunteer with the RCMP or law enforcement agency, which then led to taking part in the volunteer program called the Block Watch program, and then later on becoming a summer student expanding that program in the municipality of Surrey. During that time, I got to work with a number of police officers out of which three of them I consider early mentors, Craig Nixon, Dan Gibbons, and Bob Rogalski, who all took a great interest in my work and my time with the RCMP and were very supportive and also planted the seed in considering law enforcement as a career. And it was over a period of 2 years after working with them, going in a number of ride-alongs, working with the RCMP, that I, consciously decided to change a career paths and began to pursue a career in law enforcement, applying to a number of different law enforcement agencies here in BC. And that's how I got to finally, at a later date, be hired on by the accepted by the RCMP.
When you decided to apply, did you know about the rules regarding beards and turbans?
Actually, no. I you know, there was that was ignorance on my part. I had no sort of understanding that there were going to be restrictions. Having come from Malaysia, I grew up seeing police officers wearing turbans and beards, and there were no restrictions or prohibitions for police officers from the Sikh faith to serve with their faith intact, with their beards and turbans. So I expected that there just hadn't been anyone prior that had applied to work, and recognizing that back in the 80s, early 80s, the South Asian community was also in low numbers here in the Lower Mainland, nothing like what we have today. Mm-hmm. And so there were a number of areas that, you know, South Asian community members had yet to take part in or were represented in. And so given that, I did not really think about the fact that there may have been a policy that would disallow me to in joining any force. And secondly, didn't really even think about it given my experience from Malaysia.
And so then you apply, you pass all the requirements, and you become a trainee in Regina. What was it kind of like to begin with, especially with having the beard and wanting to have the turban?
Different, for sure. I still remember arriving in depot. You know, it was a cold November evening when the plane landed, and we were shuttled into depot in a van. We had cadet police officers waiting to pick us up. It was all very ominous, and we got to the guard room, and you know, we were given our dorm, and our, it was like getting checked into a prison, actually. Now I come to think of it, we got our pillows and our sheets and our blankets and our toiletries and such, and we got led down two by two to the dorm, and basically got given some very short instructions by our big brother troop, and away we went. The next day, when I and I still remember this vividly, because there was, at the time, there were about 600 police officers or cadets that were going through training, and when I arrived at the mess, there's this turn that you have to take as you walk into the mess through a doorway, and until you get to the doorway, you actually can't see the mess, and the folks in the mess can't see you. And as I came around the corner, you know, I got, and as you can imagine, a mess is very loud, people are talking. Well, that was, as I came around the corner, that was a moment where everybody took a break out of their meal to pause and look over to see the fellow with the turban. So that was 1,200 eyes looking back at me at that time. You know, it wasn't anything that I prepared for or thought would happen, but I remember it, and that went on for a little bit. But you know, after a while, I became part of the troop. Everybody was just too busy to think about anything else, so it went on.
And so then I guess that CBC News story, kind of how did that come about, where they did that story on you, and then from there things kind of exploded outward through Canada?
Yeah, sure. Well, interestingly enough, and you know, and this has been a bit of a, and some folks thought that, well, Baltez joined the RCMP simply to change the uniform. Well, I can tell you there's nothing more further than the truth, because what I wanted to do was become a police officer, not an RCMP officer. At the time, I had applied to the Vancouver City Police, Delta Police, New West Police, and the RCMP. I was happy just being accepted into any law enforcement agency, because my interest was the work, not so much the uniform that I was going to be wearing, or which uniform I was going to be wearing. So I had actually qualified for the Vancouver City Police as well, who called me about a week after the RCMP had offered me a position, which I took. The CBC report came out after I applied to the Vancouver City Police. So what had happened was the RCMP was, you know, keeping things fairly quiet and tight. But when the CBC contacted the VPD, they were, you know, very open in sharing that, yes, there is a fellow that is applying to the RCMP or to the VPD, the Vancouver Police Department, and he's going through the process and so on. They then phoned me and asked if I would be willing to do an interview. And that's when I had to make a decision. I consulted with some folks, elders, and I felt it was important that I took a proactive approach in providing information, having Canada see, who I was, and also be able to share information that possibly was not available to all Canadians, and with that maybe minimize some of the fears, concerns, questions, curiosity, and ignorance that was in many ways fueling some of the commentary and really, to be honest, some of the hatred.
And like you say, there was a lot of hatred. I know there was somebody making pins and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you also had quite a few supporters, and from what I read, the RCMP commissioner was kind of in support of you as well?
Yes. So he, initially, when I was offered the job, I was asked if I would be willing to remove my turban and shave my beard and comply with the existing RCMP policy. I at that point shared that I was not, and that this was something that was very precious to me. It was my relationship with my, faith, as well as a commitment that I had made to my late father. It was post that the RCMP commissioner then entered into a process of investigation and also consultation with his own multicultural advisory committee. And out of that, some 9 months later, the results were that the change of uniform to allow Sikhs to serve in the RCMP is appropriate and is in keeping with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms that we all enjoy in Canada. So the commissioner certainly was the one who eventually made those recommendations that were taken to Parliament and then were accepted in Parliament by all three parties at the time.
I guess it may seem to some people like, the CBC news story kind of pushed the RCMP to make in those changes. But with how you're describing it, it seemed kind of like that was already a process that was happening. And even without any kind of news story or any kind of media coming towards it.
Yeah, I think there was already conversations, and again, I don't know this firsthand, so these are all assumptions on my part. Mm-hmm. But I certainly, in speaking with with one of the members on the multicultural advisory committee for the commissioner at the time, that statement seems accurate. That there was already work underway to begin modernizing the RCMP. Looking at ways to include other, citizens of Canada that are from different racialized communities as part of the force. So this was already something that I think the RCMP was in the works with and was already moving through and was progressive in its thinking.
So then you graduate and you I guess your first posting was in Quesnel. I guess what was it like now that you kind of had the media, a lot of eyes were on you to go to your first assignment after all of this?
Well, real life began, I guess. Before I got to Quesnel, I was actually here in the Lower Mainland for a couple of weeks. And my sister was getting married at which time I, and this is real life, I got informed by the RCMP that there was a credible threat to my life, and they wanted to sequester me while they investigated it, which I had to turn down, given that my wife or my sister was getting married. They did find the fellow who kept calling the RCMP or detachments to tell them that he was going to put a bullet in me if every time he saw me on TV. And shortly after that, I went to Quesnel. As we arrived in Quesnel, there was a welcoming sort of sign as we drove into Quesnel. It said, "Welcome to Quesnel Turbo Cop." Absolutely. I didn't know what to make of that, but I certainly saw it as an opportunity. I thought, well, someone's brought me some lemons. I might as well make some lemonade out of it. So I realized that in a small town like that, everybody had seen that, 4x8 mm-hmm. plywood sign nailed to a tree on the main highway. So I adopted that moniker while I was in Quesnel, and everybody knew me as Turbo Cop, which was perfectly fine. That got me, close to the kids and the students in the schools, and gave us something to talk about. And it also, some of that humor lessened the tension as I spoke to different people, and people wanted to approach me and talk to me. So that was perfectly fine. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just going to say that, the sign is, it's a very odd one, because on one hand, you can take it to be, in regards to the turban, but then it can be also be a good thing. So I was really confused by the sign and kind of the message that they were trying to put across there.
Yes, I wish I could have met the fellow that had put that together, but we never did. But I honored the work and the labor that he put into it, because, it's not easy to put "Welcome to Quesnel Turbo Cop" on a 4x8 sheet and make sure all the words fit. So that took some planning and some effort, so I wanted to honor that.
How was it in Quesnel? I guess you were there for a while.
Quesnel, we fell in love with Quesnel, and I'm hopeful that certainly the people in Quesnel liked us just as much. And certainly with all of the, when we left Quesnel, we had a great send-off, and, we had lots of folks in the community come up to us, and we're very appreciative of our time there. We made a lot of friends. I got a letter from the council, honoring, and I understood that was the first time that a police officer was given such a letter by the council, appreciating my work in the community and setting up many of the programs that still exist today. So there were, instances where I had to deal with the ignorance that people carry, and that I think was, I had signed up for that, so I'm not going to complain. But I would share that we certainly had many, many more high uplifting moments than we did any of the ones that were, bad or ugly,
Over time, did it kind of just die away? Obviously when the first reports come out and everybody's up in arms, but then as you start moving through the 90s, did it just kind of become something that you didn't really have any, there was nobody with issues with it, or did it kind of still pop up as you went through your career?
It did pop up, I think, less and less. Every now and then I would surprise someone. I think there are still people in this country that remain, in a place of ignorance, God bless their souls, every now and then I find myself surprising when I let them know that, in the most recent times, I'm an inspector in the RCMP, and this is what I do. And it takes them a few seconds to have all of those things line up in their head before they say something back. But for the most part, I would say that we have come a long way. Mm-hmm. And with the added community into Canada and our commitment to becoming more informed and respectful and accepting and understanding of racialized communities, and the fact that we're all, in many ways settlers other than our Indigenous communities, who are the first people in this country. Recognizing some of these truths have certainly softened our approach to how we interact with each other. But there are here and there, mm-hmm. you know, little potholes of racism that we fall into every now and then, and say things and do things that are really uncalled for. And so I think there's still work to be done, but I would not want to in any way, shape or form disregard or not honor the work that has been done and the journey that we've taken together as a nation.
Does it kind of make you feel good knowing that you kind of led the way for other people? I know there was another Sikh man who joined the RCMP in Burnaby in the late 90s, I believe. So is it kind of nice, you know, you didn't go into the RCMP to become a trailblazer, like you said, but it kind of helped open the door for other people who maybe thought, well, I don't know if I can because of, you know, my beliefs and because I have a beard and a turban.
Yeah, no, that became real for me while I was in depo. you know, there was one particular evening, which I share often with folks that I tell my story to, where it was a particularly difficult day. We were just tired. We had a very difficult day. We were tired. We had been beaten. We had been running everywhere you can imagine, swimming, fighting, everything. And it was just a difficult, and we had people that had quit our troop the week prior and so on and so forth. When it came time at night to talk to our family and friends, we didn't have WhatsApp, any of these things back then. It was a phone on you know, on the wall that we all took turns calling home with. And so when it came to my turn, I spoke with my wife. And when my mom came on, you know, I felt homesick. I heard her voice and I just started to feel very homesick. And she could hear the tremble in my voice. And that was the moment when she said, you need to figure this out, because this is not about you anymore. This is bigger than you, and you need to get this done. I think that was the moment that it became very real that I was not just doing this for my own career, but there was hopes and expectations and sort of a responsibility that I had somehow fallen into that now was on my shoulders to carry through. And over the years, absolutely, Craig, I did not ask to be a trailblazer, to be called an icon, to any of these things, a charter hero. All I wanted to do was become a police officer and do my job. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to have been able to open those doors, lay down the path for others to walk on, and you know, be able to serve in that way. And I think that is very much you know, the life of a police officer, that if you can take the brunt of the you know, the evil that's out there and kind of make it safe for others, then you're doing your job. And that's what my brother and sister police officers do every day. So this was very much in keeping with the work that I had signed up for.
And you've retired from the RCMP, so what are you up to now?
Well, I wish I was retired. it was more of a transition, I think. Yes, I did. I did end my career with the RCMP. I was offered an opportunity to, establish a new program for the province of British Columbia. I am now part of the Organized Crime Agency of British Columbia, working with Combined Forces Special Enforcement Unit. British Columbia, putting together and establishing the Crime Guns Intelligence and Investigations Group that is mandated to reduce gun violence in the province of British Columbia.
And just my last question, outside of obviously helping to change some things in the RCMP, what's kind of your proudest moments in being an RCMP officer?
Well, I take pride in the times that we've been able to demonstrate, because I worked for a number of years as a polygraph operator. You know, I think outside of day-to-day work, where I took pride was when I got my when I got my badge, when I graduated, that was probably, you know, I was most proud on that day, being able to be sworn in, receive my badge from the commanding officer. And beyond that, what I'm most proud of, having worked in the RCMP alongside brother and sister police officers who wear all kinds of colored stripes on the side of their pants, is in a country that honors and holds the rule of law top of mind and as a line in the sand. And so we work diligently, not only to bring people who commit unlawful acts in Canada, but what I'm also very proud of, having worked in a number of different countries around the world on different cases, is that we also work just as hard to prove someone innocent when they are, falsely accused or find themselves in a situation where the circumstances initially potentially show them to have taken to have caused some illegal acts. So having worked in the RCMP for the last 29 years, I'm very proud of the fact that I belong to an organization. And also, I would say this goes across the board with other police departments as well, that whole rule of law as its primary sort of guiding principle, and that we work hard and diligently to bring forward the truth, period. And that's our job every day, is to bring forward and seek out the truth. So I'm very grateful to have been able to work in an organization such as that.
I hope you enjoyed that episode and my interview with Baltej Dhillon. It was a very interesting interview, and I really liked talking to him. You can support the podcast again by going to patreon.com/CanadaX. If you really enjoyed the podcast episode, you can also give us a rating and review. It helps move us up the charts. And you can email me any questions you have at craig@CanadaX. That's EHX.com. Thanks, and we'll see you again next time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.